Wow. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into worship this morning. And we're going to continue to worship Him this morning by going to His Word. We're in a series that we've been in for several weeks called God Is. And, you know, I've said every week that I think it's a series that can actually change your life if you will lean in and just really begin to get a glimpse of who God really is. Maybe a glimpse of God, that you get a glimpse of God in a way that you've never understood Him or experienced Him before. And so I want to do that today. I want to give you a glimpse that our God is a good Father. That He is a good Father. And right away, depending on your family of origin, that concept maybe makes some of you feel negative in you know, in certain ways, because maybe you had a father, a dad that had all kind of issues. Maybe your dad wasn't there for you. Maybe you were raised by a single mom, or maybe you were passed around in the foster care system, or raised by grandparents or relatives. Maybe you had a dad with his own issues, his own hang-ups, addictions, or maybe he was abusive to you in some ways. And you're here this morning, and you know, you hear that he God is a good Father, a good Father, and you want to believe that, but you wish you had memories of your dad in that way, your father. You wish you had memories, like myself, you know, a dad that taught you how to fish and hunt and throw a baseball, throw a football, a dad that taught you how to swim, or love to dunk you in the pool, or maybe just one time seeing your dad open the Bible and reading it and sharing it with his family, or maybe just praying an authentic prayer with you. Listen, no matter what your life experience has been, no matter what kind of dad you had in your life, your Heavenly Father wants to be a good Father to you. And here's what I think, one thing that we can all agree upon. That there is a connection between the way someone loves and the way that they provide for you. Would you agree with that? I mean, if you truly love someone, you find great satisfaction, great delight, great joy in providing for them, right? The words "I love you" are really meaningless if they're not backed up by action. It must be "I love you and I care about your needs." 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith, and such people are worse than unbelievers." It's really unthinkable to neglect the people you call your own. And since you and I, are created in the image of God, we possess this same desire that God possesses in our hearts, really to love and provide for those we love. So let me ask you a question, and you don't have to answer it right now, but just think about it as we kind of walk through this message this morning. Do you believe that God is a good Father? Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is sitting on the mountainside just teaching His truths and His Word and the Word to the people around Him. And He kind of notices that the people around Him are stressed and uptight. I mean, you can tell when people are uptight, right? You can kind of see it in their, you know, just in their countenance, just in the way they're holding themselves. And so Jesus sees that these people are stressed and uptight with everyday life. And look what He says in verse 25. We'll start in verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them." You know, you just imagine Jesus on the mountainside saying, you know, look at the birds, you know, in the air. I mean, they're doing barrel rolls up there. I mean, they're just loving flying. They're whistling, right? No bird has wrinkles. Right? No high blood pressure birds don't have migraines, right? They don't have therapists, birds that are sitting next to them on the wire talking about their issues. I can just imagine him saying, they don't have to worry about life insurance policies, or they're not worried about barns being filled to the brim with bird seed. I mean, in reality, this little bird is just one worm away from starvation. Birds aren't anxious. They don't worry, because built into this little bird is the basic reliance on the good, good Father. Reliance on His providing hand. Every day, the bird learns that the good Father will not let him down, that the good Father can be trusted. This little bird has learned to trust the good Father one day at a time. And then Jesus turns to the people and He says, "Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And then He goes, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these." He switches over to flowers, and as beautiful as they are, they're blooming and they're across the mountainside. He says, they have no contingency plan, right? They're not on the brink of emotional collapse, not concerned. Even though they're beautiful, they're not concerned with how they look. It knows that God will provide its need. It will bring rain. He will make the sun shine on them. And the flower learns over and over again that the good Father's character can be trusted, and His provisions are real. And so in verse 30 he says, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" He says, even though, those things are here today and gone tomorrow, He says, but you are so much more valuable. You have eternal value to me. God says, I've shared with you about my dad. I was blessed with a good father. My dad was so faithful to my mom for 63 years, so faithful to my sisters and I, just being there with us, encouraging us, providing for us. I mean, my dad, I shared with you before, he loved to read. My dad would read two newspapers every day. I don't know what that was all about, but he would go through two complete newspapers every day. But his favorite book of all was the Bible. And I've shared with you the image that is kind of just burnt into my mind of walking around the corner from my room into the living room and seeing my dad late at night before the Bible with it open, with his forehead literally in God's Word and reading God's Word, and then just talking to God like he was right there with him. It was like, oh, my dad is weird. What's going on? Just talking to God. And this one statement that just kind of is burnt into my image, into my memory, is, him saying, "God, yes, God, we can do that. We can do that." And I just thought, as a boy, wow, what? He's talking to his God. And it was such an intimate moment. There really is this unmistakable connection between love and provision. And so Jesus in verse 31 says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will you eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. All your needs. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. One translation says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Your good Father knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need. He doesn't say He will give you all you want, right? He doesn't say that. Why? I think it's because there is that connection between love and provision. I love how Paul, the Apostle Paul, begins to understand this about his God. In Philippians 4:6, he says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." I mean, it sounds just like what Jesus was saying. And you have to realize this. Paul's not in some Marriott in Jerusalem writing this. You know, he's not in some unbelievable hotel. He's writing these words when he is lonely, when he is penniless, when he's sitting in a cold Roman prison cell. And yet he says, "Don't worry. Don't worry." Paul has been beaten and shipwrecked and hungry and thirsty and homeless, and he says, "Don't worry." Why? Because he understood who his God was, that he was a good, good father. Philippians 4:19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus." And so what does all your needs include? What does he mean when he says he will meet all your, what does all your needs include? Well, first, it includes all your physical and material needs. Now, again, there's a difference between needs and wants, right? There's a difference. I mean, you can put a pan of banana pudding in front of me, right? And I will immediately want that, right? I will immediately want that, especially the vanilla wafers in the banana pudding. I will want to pick all those out, but I don't necessarily need it. Right? I don't necessarily need it. Or you could put a Tesla, is that the new car? Did I say that right? In front of me. Now, I would really want one of those. And so if you're thinking, what can you give money for Christmas? I mean, that would be awesome, you know. I don't know, convertible Tesla, they make convertible? Yeah. My hair blowing, it would be awesome. I mean, I really could want one of those, but I don't need one of those, right? There's a difference between our wants and our needs. And it doesn't mean you're not responsible for the way that you work and the way that you live. It's no excuse for being lazy. No excuse to go on this wild spending spree and say, "Oh, God will provide, God will provide." No, He calls you and I to be good managers of all that He gives us. God loves you so much that He is always working behind the scenes, arranging His infinite resources to come to bear in your life, to provide for you in your moment of need. And He does that in many, many different ways. Through just providing your needs, through answering a prayer. But I think we struggle with that, really believing that our God is that kind of good Father to us. That He wants to meet all of our needs, physical and material needs. My son Hunter, my oldest son Hunter, has this houseless ministry in Birmingham. And he's been hanging out and ministering and sharing and loving on houseless people for the last 8 years or so. And he says, "You know, Dad, some of the most trusting people in the provision of God are those who don't have very much. That every day they live with this dependent attitude that God is going to have to show up today, just like He does for the birds, just like He does for the flowers." And I think so many of you can tell stories in your life of how God came through for you at just the right moment. Stories of maybe where you were not knowing where your next meal was going to come from, and then all of a sudden a sack of groceries showed up on your porch, or maybe you didn't know how you was going to be able to pay your next electric bill, and then all of a sudden a check appears in the mail. You've experienced those kind of things in your life, and people that have experienced that live with such a deep sense of trust in their God because they've learned He is such a good, good Father. But not only your physical and material needs, He also will meet your emotional and relational needs. He knows when you need a friend. He knows when you need a listening ear or an arm around your shoulder. When you need an extra touch of His presence and His encouragement. When you're kind of worn out and just at the end of your rope and you can't go another step forward, He knows that. When you're fearful of the future because you've lost someone that you love very, very much, God knows. He knows when you're afraid for the results of a medical test. He knows when you have no direction to turn, and all of a sudden, God sends a phone call, or a note, or a text, or an email, a person just at the right time. He is a good, good Father that wants to meet your emotional and relational needs. But most importantly, He wants to meet your spiritual needs. That void that is in your soul that can only be filled by Him. The deepest need of our soul. He so wants to meet that need in your life, in my life. I love Johnny Erickson Tada. I was listening to her tell her story a while back. She was in a diving accident where she dove when she was a teenager back in the 60s. And she became paralyzed from the neck down. And she tells the story when she's laying there in the hospital and they've been going over her and taking care of her. And then she's about several months in and they just share with her, Johnny, you're never going to be able to walk, or you're going to be paralyzed from the neck down forever. So one night she's laying in her bed there in the hospital, and she's just looking up at the ceiling and just, lonely, hurting, not understanding. And it's late at night, and the visiting hours are over, and she didn't realize this, but one of her best friends kind of hid in the waiting room behind the couch until the lights were turned down, and she kind of crawls past the nursing station and goes into Johnny's room and kind of startles Johnny at first. And her friend Jackie says, "It's okay, it's okay." And she goes, they're gonna kick us out of here. She goes, No, it'll be all right. She crawls up into the bed beside Johnny. And together, they had grown up. They were in the youth group together, and they're always singing songs together and hymns together. And she just starts singing this old classic hymn, "Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior." And they just together begin to sing that there in that hospital room. And Johnny says it brought so much comfort to her that she began to remember that she had a Savior who had suffered for her. That Jesus knew and understood loneliness and sorrow. He knew what it felt like to not be able to move His body when He hung on the cross. And she says, in that moment, it brought such incredible comfort to her. And you think about Johnny. Here's a teenager, and then a young woman, that is paralyzed from the neck down. Nothing really to offer. So little to give. You think about her now and her story and how she has impacted millions and millions of people's lives with her story, with her speaking, with her singing, with her artwork that she paints with her teeth. Recently, she says she went back to a high school reunion and she was looking for her friend, Jackie, and she couldn't find her and was asking people, inquiring about her, and all of a sudden, finally, someone came up to her and says, "Hey, Jackie's son just committed suicide 2 or 3 days ago." And she was just devastated, and so she calls her and she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I could be there with you," right? She says, "If I was with you, Jackie, I would crawl up in your bed and we would sing, 'Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came. Hallelujah, what a Savior.'" You see, she understands that He is a good, good Father. You think about that word 200 times in the Gospels, 156 times in John alone. Jesus used the Aramaic word Abba, which doesn't really mean Father, it means Daddy. It's a more intimate name for our Heavenly Father. And it almost seems sometimes irreverent to address God, right? In that way, this sovereign God, this God that sometimes we think is at a distance. it feels strange to kind of call him Abba or Daddy. It's such an intimate and loving way. But this is what Jesus dared to do, and I think what he dares you and I to do. That is to have an intimate, loving relationship with Almighty God, the sovereign King of the universe. It's as if he has come off his throne and he has pulled up a chair beside us, and with his arm around us, he's saying, you know, through his son Jesus, he says, Matthew 7, he says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on looking and knocking and the door will be open to you. I know as a parent, sometimes when my kids keep pestering me for something, my response is, if you don't stop asking me for that, you're not going to get anything, right? But God is just the opposite to us. He's saying, keep on asking. Keep on asking. I'm not bothered. Don't ever stop. And so my advice to us, as we get to understand and learn more and more that He is a good, good Father, my advice to us is to say everything. To say everything. I mean, don't get me wrong. In the presence of the King, say nothing. Let Him talk. Let Him reveal Himself to you. But in the presence of the Father, say everything. Let Him listen to you. Big or small, whatever you need to ask Him, ask Him. He's not bothered by it. He is a dad. And I know the best time in my day when my boys, it would be when my boys would come up to me and just want to share things with me and ask me for something. And you know, I had this desire to provide for them and to give for them. And even today as adult sons, you know, the best part of my day is when they call me and they want to share with me what's going on in their life. God wants to do the same for you. He's a good Father. So let me just give you three kind of starter sentences to kind of guide you as you talk to your good, good Father. The first one is this. Just say, Father, thank you. Thank you. You know, thank you, God, for Kim. Thank you for my children. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the, you know, those that volunteer here. God, thank you. Just small things in life that bring so much joy. Here's what I want. I don't know about you. I want to be the most grateful person on the planet because I understand that there is a correlation between how thankful I am and how much I worry or how content I am. And so this week, I'm thanking Him for everything, from the rain to Chipotle, right? To my shoes, my car. How about you? What are you thankful for? Can you think of just one thing? And then say, Father, help me. God, I need your help. I need your help. You know, I think about my dad when, you know, maybe my dad would hold out his hand and it would have a quarter in it, right? And you'd see, you know, he kind of offering this quarter to you or whatever, it's money to you. And sometimes, you know, not knowing what kind of relationship you had with your dad, you didn't know if, you know, if he was going to hold it out there, and then if you didn't get it quick enough, he's going to grab it and say, hey, you're too slow, bro, too slow. But, you know, right? You had that kind of dad play games like that, you know? And so you'd run by real quick, snatch it out of his hand so you'd listen. If I do that with my Heavenly Father, I miss it. I miss it. Because he's not just offering money. You know, He's not just offering me more money. He's not just offering me good health. He's offering me His hand. And it's a strong hand. Psalms 37:23 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You put a baseball in my hand, it's worth about $5, right? Justin Verlander's hand, $50 million. You put a basketball, you know, in my hand, it's worth about $25. In LeBron James' hand, it's worth about $20 million. Give me a stick, and I can kind of fend off an angry dog, maybe. But in the hand of Moses, he parts the Red Sea. You give me a slingshot, and I might could kill a bird, you know. I wouldn't want to, but I might. David kills a giant. You put fish and bread in my hand, and maybe I can make a sandwich. Maybe. But in the hands of Jesus, he feeds thousands, and he has leftovers. You put nails and wood in my hand, and you got nothing. You get nothing. But in the hand of Jesus, he saves the world. It really comes down to whose hand it's all in. And so who do you turn to? Listen, he wants to help. He wants to grab your hand and hold you strong. For he is a good, good Father. Father, thank you. Father, help me. And then finally, just Father, use me. Use me. I love the story of these two sisters, Ruth and Verena. They were born in 1984, and they've been inseparable like many sisters, and particularly twins. They shared everything. They shared the same womb before they were born. They shared the same room afterwards. They even shared the same bed every night. They shared the same toys, even shared one tricycle between them. But it went even further than with most sisters or even twins. Because Ruth and Verena's bodies were kind of fused together from their sternum to their waist. And though they had different brains and a different nervous system and distinctive personalities, they were sustained by a single three-chambered heart. They were literally inseparable because one could not survive without the other. And if the truth be told, when they were born, the doctors didn't think they would survive at all, but they did. Although only for 7 years, but in those 7 years, they learned to walk together and work together, and as others learned so much, and others learned so much for them. For example, when it came to walking, their parents thought that they might take turns, you're right, and at walking forwards or backwards, or that one might dominate the other and always force the other one to walk sideways, or to walk backwards, but no. Instead, they learned to walk together, sideways, almost like they were dancing in the same direction. And so they relied on one another because separation was not an option. And every time I read that story and I'm reminded of that story, I think about my relationship with God. You know, he says nothing will separate us from his love. Nothing. But we think there's, you know, everything separates us from his love. You know, when we make mistakes, when we do things we know aren't pleasing to him, you know, we think it's separate. But he says nothing will ever separate us from his love. And so I so want to share the heart with Jesus. I want to think what he thinks, say what he says, do what he would do. I want to mimic and mirror him so that he can use my life. One of my favorite exotic animals is the African impala. It's a deer that can jump 10 feet in the air and 30 feet in distance. But they are also the easiest animal to fence in. I mean, you can put a 3-foot-high fence around them that they can't see through, and they'll just lay down because they won't jump unless they can see on the other side of the fence. And I'm kind of that way sometimes. You know, the Bible tells us to live by faith and not by sight, to really trust my good Father. Yet I struggle. I struggle with stepping out in faith and, you know, and letting God use me for His good and for His glory. I struggle saying, okay, God, here I am. Send me. How about you? I mean, what is it that God puts in front of you that is a challenge? And you want to jump. You want to go, but you lack the faith to trust God enough to jump. And maybe it's as simple as forgiving someone, or letting go of some sin habit, or sharing your faith with someone. What is it that keeps you from being used by God? Will you trust God and just pray and say, God, use me? Three kind of conversation starters that you can begin to have with your heavenly daddy. Father, thank you. Father, help me. Father, use me. What we say, really, I think, is determined by who it is we say it to, right? There's some people that you wouldn't just go up to and say, hey, bro, what's going on? But just because of who they are. What we say is determined by who we say it to. And so when you enter the presence of the sovereign King, we talked about a few weeks ago, say nothing. Let Him reveal Himself to you. But when you enter into the presence of your Father, whatever it is, say it. He is listening. It's the God that I wish you and I knew and understood, that He is a good Father and He promises to meet all our needs, that He desires to be in a relationship with you and me, no matter what the cost, right? I mean, Isaiah 53 says, you know, it was His plan to crush Jesus as an offering for your sin and my sin. In John 10:18, Jesus says, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Listen, God loves you so much, He provides for you even when it cost Him dearly. Even when it cost Him His one and only Son. He wants to be in relationship with you and I. He wants to be our good, good Father. I love Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. It says this, how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before He made the world, God chose us to be His very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in His eyes without a single fault. We who stand before Him covered with His love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And He did this because He wanted to. Listen, God didn't adopt you and me, you know, because you had something to offer Him or I had something to offer Him. He adopted you because He had something to offer you. He chose you. He loves you. He wants to listen to you. I heard this pastor preach on the baptism of Jesus a few weeks ago, and just reminded me of this truth about our God, our good, good Father. You know, there in Matthew 3, Jesus is baptized, and He comes up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. And you just begin to think about that. The Father was declaring over His Son whatever human heart really wants to know. It's what you and I want to know, right? The truth that helps us understand that He is a good, good Father. The truth that I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. Do you understand that? I mean, I am loved, and I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. Just to say that together one time, all right? I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. I mean, you begin to understand that truth, that good news. When you begin to understand that you are loved and you're a child of God and He's pleased with you, you walk into a room differently. You hold your head up high and you kind of got a little strut to you because you understand that He is a good, good Father and that He loves you. You are His child and He is pleased with you. I mean, you can wake up every morning and look at yourself in the mirror, and even with your stinky breath, look at yourself in all of its glory, and you can say, I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. He is a good, good Father. And everything you do, you run it through that truth. That is who you are. And you say, well, Monty, I don't think He would say that about me because I haven't done this or I haven't done... Listen, it's not about performance. Jesus hadn't even started His ministry yet when God said that about Him. It's not about performance. It's about your position, and it's about your proximity, your relationship that you have with Him through what Jesus Christ did for you. You are loved. If you're a follower of Him, if you said yes to Him, you are loved. You are a child of God, and He is pleased with you. And so instead of this week, instead of looking at your anxieties or looking at your worries or your circumstances of life, instead, this week, today, look to the good, good Father. Define and declare in your life that in the face of my worries, in the face of my anxieties, in the face of my fears, I will choose to trust in the love and the provision of my good Father. Believe that, understand that, and hold on to that truth. That He is a good, good Father. Pray with me, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's just sit for a few moments in the presence of the good, good Father. You might say, well, Monty, who gets in on this provision? Who gets in on this love? Right? Listen, it's available to everybody. It's available to everybody. But you must choose to live for Him and for His kingdom first. To seek Him first. I mean, it's up to you. If you want to be His adopted son or His adopted daughter, it's up to you. You just have to say yes to Him today. Right now, right where you are. Just pray, God, today I choose to trust in Your promises and Your provision. God, I need Your love. God, I need Your forgiveness. I need a Savior. And oh God, You provide Your one and only Son to pay for my sins and my mess ups. So today, God, right now, I say yes to You. And I invite You to be my Lord, my Savior. God, today I choose to follow You the rest of my life. Begin to change me, God. Begin to transform me. Begin to use me as I give my life to You. You are a good, good Father. And I so want to be loved by You, to be Your child, to hear You say over me that You are pleased with me. So I give You everything right now, God. Father, You hear the prayers and the hearts of the people in this room. So God, through Your Holy Spirit, through Your presence, God, begin to respond to them. Begin to give them this understanding, God, that now, Father, that they are a child of Yours, God. Begin to help us understand more and more, Father, that You are a good, good Father, and that, God, You want to use us to make a difference for You. So God, help us to trust you and to hold on to your right hand. Thank you, God. Help us to live our lives for you. Use us to make a difference. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.